Very popular question. What are the rights of a woman when she's married? And I'll answer that question with something that is not a direct response first, is that marriage will not survive if you're only focused on rights. Marriage needs to elevate itself beyond the level of rights. If you're concerned about getting all of your rights from your husband and your husband is concerned about getting all of his rights from you, then you're going to hate each other. You're going to resent each other. That's not love. That's not marriage. That's business, right? It sounds like you're ready to take each other to court. You didn't give me my rights. In reality, the rights of a wife and the rights of a husband are so many in the nikah that there's no possible way that you're going to give all of them to the other party. And so it's constantly a process of negotiation and overlooking and trying to improve. So for advice to married people, and I need that advice first and foremost before anybody else, to try to relate to your marriage not as a business partnership in which you're trying to extract your rights, but something that Allah has given you as an opportunity to worship Him. You worship Allah through your spouse. You worship Allah through your marriage. If each party can get to the point where they're worshiping Allah through their marriage, neither will complain ever. They will have a happy marriage. If one person is able to do it, but the other person isn't, it's very difficult, but it can still kind of limp along. If neither party is worshiping Allah through the marriage, either of them is just concerned with themselves and getting out of it what they want, then it's only a matter of time until the marriage isn't satisfying that and you're going to want to end it. That being said, the rights that women have, and we mentioned this in a previous question, it's very important to stress here, the dowry is one of the first ones, okay? You have a right to a dowry. We have two extremes in the Muslim community. We have some ethnic groups where the dowries are so expensive that you wonder how anyone ever pays them, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then we have other communities that the dowry is so cheap that the women are in a very, very weak position if they ever want to get a khula. We just talked about how women can get initiate a divorce in exchange for part of their dowry. Okay, if your dowry was a copy of the Quran, or if your dowry was being recited Surah Al-Ikhlas, what are you going to do when you want a khula? What do you want to do when you want a divorce? Maybe your husband starts drinking, he starts smoking, he starts beating you, and you want a divorce. He doesn't want to give it to you, and you don't have anything to negotiate with. You should have thought about that before you got into it by taking care of your dowry. Make sure that your dowry is meaningful and reasonable. What did we say in the khutbah the other month? The dowry of the Prophet ﷺ and his women folk translated to be about $10,000 in today's currency, I believe. So that's something where, you know, you can negotiate with. Other rights have to do with cohabitation, sexual intimacy. It's not allowed for a husband to abandon his wife in the bedroom at all. And this is something that's extremely important. There's research that shows that the hormones that get released between people when they cohabit in such a way, it decreases tension and it actually makes everything else easier. All the arguments that you have, all the resentment that you build up, all these sorts of things, if you're not engaging each other in the bedroom, then everything gets worse. So that is something that it cannot be used as a weapon. And this is a really big problem that some couples do. They use it as a weapon. If you're not making me happy, well, none for you. And it goes from each party to the other. Huge mistake. It should be something that both couples do no matter what situation they're in. If they've had an argument or whatever. Because it's actually going to help the argument and it's going to help everything else that's going on. You have the right to financial maintenance. And this has to do, this goes back to urf. Okay, it goes back to what is considered reasonable according to the people of your area. You have the right to what is typical, okay? That might be a three-bedroom apartment, that might be a two-bedroom apartment, depending on where you live, depending on how many kids you have, depending on your education level, these sorts of things. And there's other rights, I mean, but those are usually the big ones. She has the right to protection, physical, financial, from her husband, and There can be other rights that also go back to culture, because in many things, and if the Sharia is silent about a certain thing, oftentimes it goes back to the urf, right? It goes back to the culture. If something is an expectation within the culture, then it can be, not every single time, but it can be something that is recognized by the Sharia as something that's a cultural expectation that is enforceable.